time for school. Rock School. With your hosts, Dr. Joe Burns.
My baby needs shoes.
And Chad P.
That's only two true things come out of Seattle: grunge or right. Starbucks coffee.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Underwritten by Home Theater, etc. Class is in.
Sunday afternoon, this is Rock School from the Great White North. What? Why is it so cold in this room?
I don't know.
I mean, we've switched studios here, and are they hanging meat? Is this a butcher shop?
Yeah,
I mean,
Rocky was practicing yesterday.
Wow, is it cold in here. So, got to play some hot music.
Got to keep the equipment cool.
This is a show that Chad would not shut up about.
Dude.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we did the first Eric Clapton show.
Back in July.
It was never intended to be a two show. And then when Chad put it up on the website, he called it the Clapton Chronicles Part 1 and has been on me like a bad suit ever since to put together the second Clapton show.
That's the OCD in me coming out.
The OCD, the O'Eric Clapton coming out of Chad. So let's do the formal introduction. That's why this one exists. I'm Joe Burns, Communication Department Guy, Southeastern Louisiana University. What's your name?
Chad P.
A former student and one who won't get off my back.
And I'm not sitting to your immediate right this
no,
week.
No, you're. Where are you?
I'm right over here through this sheet of glass.
Oh, this is the weirdest thing. I can't even, he's not even a human being. He's this disembodied voice in my head. Now that you've had a good insight into the radio and the fact that I can't feel my fingers or toes anymore.
It's cold.
Let's go on with Eric Clapton Part 2. If you've listened to the show or you caught it on the KSLU.org website, Eric Clapton Part 1 ended right as Eric began starting cocaine and heroin and had just begun his solo career.
Around the year 1970, right?
Somewhere around there.
Cool.
Let It Rain was from Eric Clapton, his first solo album. Well, what happened after that? Well, the next solo album was called 461 Ocean Boulevard, and it wasn't put out until 1974.
Okay.
What do you do for 3 years?
Well, if you're on drugs.
Yeah, you shoot heroin. Eric took off to Surrey, England. Now, I brought the magazine to you a little earlier today.
Yeah, good read.
There was a magazine out there called, I think it's Classic Guitarist, which is all about Eric Clapton, and they couldn't quite get it out of him whether he started heroin because he was tired of being a musician or because Patty Boyd was just not loving him back. But whatever the reason, Eric basically left the United States, retired to Surrey, England, and did heroin like crazy. He came out one time on his own to play for the Concert for Bangladesh, which was a George Harrison project and actually is a two-for record. And I've never listened to the whole thing, but Eric Clapton passed out on stage.
Wow.
During the concert, was revived, and then finished out the concert. In 1973, Peter Townsend decided he should step in. Eric Clapton shouldn't die. So Pete Townsend did and basically was instrumental on getting Clapton off of heroin.
Well, good for him.
Good for him. The what's known as the Rainbow Concert was organized. That's mm-hmm. also been recorded, and you can go and listen to that. The problem was Eric did kick heroin. The problem was he found vodka.
Oh, boy.
And he began drinking. He was what was known as a functioning alcoholic. And on 461 Ocean Boulevard, you hear a semi-clean, semi-drunk Eric Clapton who decided, you know what? No more rock and roll. Let's play a different kind of music. Here's an introduction, at least for a lot of people, to reggae music. This is Eric Clapton from 461 Ocean Boulevard. I shot the sheriff on Rock School.
I shot the sheriff.
Part 2, Eric Clapton, Part 2. Once your mic turns on, you can actually talk.
This is so hard.
We're in a new studio, folks. We don't know what the heck we're doing. This is Eric Clapton, Part 2, the Clapton Chronicles, Part 2, and that was from 461 Ocean Boulevard, I Shot the Sheriff, originally by Bob Marley. Now, here's the thing. When I started putting the show together, all I did was go and I thought, let's go do a discography. You ever done a discography of somebody? Just show me every record they have.
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. I got four pages here.
Well, you got a popular artist there.
Unbelievable, the amount of music that he put out. The man was a functioning alcoholic for a decade plus. So that was from 1974. The next album he put out was EC Was Here. That was in 75. Also in 75, he put out There's One in Every Crowd. In 1976, he put out No Reason to Cry. And in 1977, he put out Slow Hand. What happened in that general area? What happened in that general time? Well, a lot of things, but the one that might jump up and bite people, something you might have heard of about Eric Clapton, is he was accused of racism at a concert on the No Reason to Cry LP.
For what?
He made the statement, and it was misunderstood. He made the statement that the United Kingdom had become, quote, a black colony.
Okay.
He was talking about immigrants coming into the country. Now, the way Eric Clapton said it was he was unhappy with how immigrants were being portrayed,
okay,
the way immigrants were being treated.
Right.
It was taken that he hated that they were coming into the country.
Oh, I
see. When you read his comments, it's blatant. The man isn't putting down immigrants, but that's the way it was taken.
Okay.
Comments also by David Bowie and Susie Sue. Remember her from Susie and the Banshees when we did our punk show a few days or a few times back?
Yeah.
They also made similar statements. And because people didn't understand or didn't get what was coming across, a group of musicians in the UK created something called Rock Against Racism.
Okay.
And Clapton vehemently denied it, as he should have. But what he did, which was interesting, he made the statement that all musical influences to him are from African-American artists.
Mm-hmm.
And what he did was he basically fired his entire backing band and hired all African-American musicians.
To show that
That's
he
right.
really wasn't. Okay.
That
yeah.
was his run. Now, you ask yourself, I mean, all these albums, how does he write all this music? He doesn't. He either plays somebody else's music or he co-authors a great deal of it. This one's from Slow Hand. This was co-authored by Mark Levy, one of Clapton's backup singers. And for the longest time, this was my favorite Eric Clapton song. I just love this tune to death. This is Lay Down Sally on Rock School.
Nothing that is wrong in wanting you to stay silent and rest here in my arms. Don't you think you want someone to talk to? Lay down, Sally. There's no need to leave so soon. I've been trying all night long just to talk to you.
Welcome. You're enjoying that a little too much.
Welcome to Country Radio, KSLU. What is it with Eric Clapton? The world thinks he's this hard rock guitarist, but we've played reggae, we've played country. I mean, his country influences are something else, and it isn't until into the 80s that he really goes back to that cream, hard rock sound.
There's nothing wrong with being a little diverse. I mean, didn't we play Johnny Cash a couple of weeks ago? Because
love Johnny
it just
Cash.
Fits, you know,
love,
it just fits.
Love Johnny Cash. Let's just continue with this run of solo music. In 1978, he recorded the Backless LP, and he had three backing musicians who were all from Oklahoma.
Oklahoma.
Let's see.
Sooner born, sooner bred.
Living on Oklahoma City time. No, that doesn't work. Living on Tulsa. Tulsa. Living on Tulsa time. Hey, that would be a good song. This
Tulsa
was actually
time.
His concert opener for years. So yes. 1978, Backless, Living on Tulsa Time. I figured if we're in the country mode, we might as well stay there. We're going to keep playing Eric Clapton until the hour's up. This is the Clapton Chronicles, Part 2 on Rock School. Living on Tulsa Time. Listen to that beautiful little slide in there. He's trying to make it sound like one of those sit-down lap guitars.
Do you think just because you're sitting in a separate room from me that I can't see you in there shaking your shoulders back and forth?
I'm back up singing for the guy. I'm back up singing. Eric Clapton and the Clapton Chronicles Part 2 as we continue with the life and career of Eric Clapton, the second of now a two-part series right here in Rock School, brought to you by the good people at home, theater, etc.
You know, Doc, I love the fact that you can sit down and rock out to Clapton if you're in a rock mode, or if you feel like doing some country on the weekend, you can do that too. Basically, whatever mood you're in, you grab the appropriate Clapton CD, and there you have it.
All the way from that 1960s heavy rock through Cream, through the John Mayall Blues Breakers, just unbelievable run of music. And it continues. We just finished Backless in 1978. His next album was also in 78. It was called Head First. Mm-hmm. In 1979, he released Union Jacks. In 1980, he released a live album called Just One Night. And then also in 1980, did work on an album called On the Edge. Mm-hmm. When did he have time to do anything else? Well, luckily he did. Around 79, 80, the dates are really not quite in stone. Clapton decides to get himself clean at a convalescent center in Antigua.
Okay.
Now, it was just simply a place to get clean back then, but Clapton proclaims that this place in Antigua saved his life. And he would later donate a great deal of money to start a place down there called the Crossroads Center. Later in the hour, we're going to talk about the guitars that he sold at an auction for, gajillions of dollars.
I think one of them sold for almost $1 million.
As far as I know, I have the number here. I believe the exact number, but yeah, you're close. You're almost right on.
One of them held the world record for like the most money paid for
A single guitar,
yeah.
Right, until Clapton broke that the year after. Yeah, after he sold another guitar. You're thinking about Blackie.
Blackie, yes.
Yeah, Blackie is his black Stratocaster, and then Brownie is his, of course, brown Stratocaster. And on top of that, guess what he also did in 1980?
What's that?
He married Patty Boyd.
Hey!
Finally. In 1981, Clapton was asked to play a place called the Secret Policeman's Other Ball, and he did. Mm-hmm. And it was the first and, as far as I know, only time he has ever been on stage playing live with Jeff Beck.
Hey.
And immediately after that, put out another album. 1981's another ticket. This was the big hit. This is I Can't Stand It on Rock School. Scare you there in a little bit when it went down to almost nothing and then blasted back.
My heart stopped for a split second, you know.
You thought we were done when we weren't done.
Hey, it's hard driving this show from another room.
I can't stand it. It's the Clapton Chronicles here, part two, trying to get to where Clapton is today. Now, we just finished up another ticket from 1981. Everybody has this album. In fact, I don't know anybody that likes classic rock that doesn't have this album. The Best of Eric Clapton, Timepieces.
Oh, yeah.
That was put out in 1982. In 1983, he put out yet another album called Money and Cigarettes. And there's a song on there that is about as... My mom likes this song. You want to talk about different styles of music this guy can play. In 1982, 3, somewhere in there, Eric Clapton was still married to Patty Boyd. The problem is he started having an affair with a woman named Yvonne Kelly, which produced a child named Connor. Mm-hmm. Now, you probably know Connor from the fact that he fell out of a window later in his life, about 5 years. He's about 5 years old. And the song Tears in Heaven was written for that.
Yeah.
Eric Clapton obviously knew he was the father and financially supported Yvonne Kelly, and Patty Boyd didn't even know about it until the funeral of Connor.
Why would you cheat on Patty Boyd?
Got me. Patty Boyd was unable to have children, so maybe that was one of the reasons.
You can't find her fault for that.
Can't even attempt to crawl into the guy's head. Maybe it's just because he's... Okay, here's your disc jockey. Ready?
All right, come on.
Maybe it's because he's got a rock and roll heart. Huh?
Oh, perhaps.
Huh?
I'm so glad I'm in the other room.
I do this for a living. It's my job. It's Eric Clapton on Rock School.
I've
serious, girl. Right at this moment, I've got it. You've got it. Rock and roll heart. I've got it.
I've got a rock and roll heart.
Like 57 Chevys.
This is how cool Eric Clapton is. What? He can put out a fluff piece and people will accept it. If this was put out by like Jefferson Airplane or Jefferson Starship or Jefferson Mailbox, whatever they're calling themselves these days, they would be absolutely thrashed over it. That's just a piece of fluff. But for some reason, since it's Eric Clapton and the guy just literally bleeds cool,
yeah, man,
you can buy it. Half past. We have never hit half past right on the money.
We're
like
right
that.
On the money.
Right on the money. And if I'm not mistaken, as we cruise along with the Clapton Chronicles part dos,
yep.
That's my Spanish.
Look at you.
We have a sponsor, the good people at Home Theater, etc. Tell us all about it, Chad P.
The good people at Home Theater, etc. Proud sponsors of Rock School on 90.9 KSLU, whether or not we're in a meat cooler producing the show or not.
It is
They're
so
our
cold
sponsor.
In this room.
They love us and we love them. They're located in downtown Hammond on the corner of Morris and Mooney, where 190 splits. They're across the street from Florida Parish's Bank, and they have just about everything that you will need for a home theater setup.
And popcorn.
All that and much more. Their phone number is 985-340-7777. Home Theater, etc. Proud sponsors of Rock School.
I want to write us an email.
Why not?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Do it.
KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. KSLU Rock School at gmail.com. Or there's a button that says contact us on the KSLU.org website where you can click on Rock School and it'll take you directly to our official website page.
Okay. Well, it's time for the stump. And anytime I'm dealing with, anytime you decide to put a stump together on a band like Eric Clapton, the birth of knowledge is so wide
it is.
That you're going to be able to just go find a piece of minutia, and I don't have a shot at it.
No, you're going to do this one because I want it to play fair, because upon researching Eric Clapton, oh my gosh.
Oh, yeah, it goes on forever.
Bewilderment of information, but I actually went in and started researching some stuff on guitars.
Now, you actually went ahead and ran this past the person who runs this radio station.
Yeah.
We'll call him Todd.
Todd.
Yeah, Todd. Yeah. And he didn't get it right.
Well, he got most of it right.
Okay, shoot.
It was actually a 2 out of 3, and I said, for Dr. Burns, I think I'm going to go 3 out of 3.
Okay,
so
shoot.
Here we go. Eric Clapton cites several men as major influences on his guitar playing, primarily Robert Johnson, Buddy Guy, Hubert Sumlin, and there's also 3 Kings. Blank King.
B.B. King, Freddie King.
And who else? I need
B. B.
all
King,
three.
Freddie King. You ever heard Freddie King?
No, never.
Wow.
Now, I tell you, this anonymous...
Albert King.
Albert King!
Thank you!
Look
thank
at you!
Thank you! Thank you!
Hey, Todd didn't get Freddie King. But
really?
He immediately said Albert King and B.B. King, and I said, I'm going to have to do all three for him because he's going to get it.
You know, B.B. King, B.B. is not his actual name. Do you know what B.B. stands for?
Mm-mm.
Blues Boy.
Why not?
Honest to goodness, Blues Boy. Do you know why B.B. King's guitar is named Lucille?
No.
He was in a club that caught on fire,
mm-hmm.
and as he was running out, he was holding his guitar, and he heard somebody yelling, Lucille, Lucille, Lucille.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't know who Lucille was. He just thought that was a wonderful name. And if somebody, really, if somebody was willing to run back into a building, burning building, and go after a woman named Lucille, there must be something wonderful about Lucille.
Sweet.
You betcha. We're up to 1985. I got them all. We're up to 1985. This is the Behind the Sun LP. This is his first collaboration with Phil Collins. He'll do it a few more times. This is She's Waiting on Rock School.
Now.
Yeah, a little penny whistle in there as well. She's Waiting, collaboration with Phil Collins. That's your friend and mine, Eric Clapton.
Reminds me of Drumline.
Good tune. Before this, had Eric Clapton done any work with, say, movies or anything like that? Actually, no. It wasn't until, believe it or not, you'd think a guy like Eric Clapton would actually, you know, be drawn into the movies. You know, why? Come on, write for this, write for that. Wasn't until 1986 that Eric Clapton actually wrote for his first movie. If he did write, it was really on a limited basis because I didn't find any before this.
Really?
In 1 year, 1986, he wrote for two movies, Lethal Weapon and The Color of Money. The Lethal Weapon, not a lot of people can pull it out of their head, but I'll make you bet everybody knows the song he wrote for The Color of Money.
Which is what?
It's In the Way That You Use It on Rock School.
It's in the way that you use it.
Hey, it's in the way that you use it.
Hey, that song just screams 1980s movie.
It does. This should be a big love story right at the end of it. Yeah. Lovely. We are doing the Clapton Chronicles. That was from 1986. It's In the Way That You Use It. In 1988, yet another compilation comes out for Clapton. I almost said Robert Johnson because of your stump. That's stuck in my head now.
That's right. I had that effect.
1988, Crossroads came out. And then in 1989, I don't know if you had been following Clapton or buying any of these albums, but I remember in 1989 going to the record store to get Journeyman.
Uh-huh.
Have you listened to the Journeyman album?
No.
Because we were talking about, well, he's country, well, he's reggae, well, he's this, well, he's that. And then he did, you know, I Got a Rock and Roll Heart. It was cutesy and popsy. And in all honesty, it's In the Way That You Use It is kind of cutesy and popsy and all
right.
that. When's he going to go back to Cream? When's he going to go back to John Mayall? When's he going to go back to the Yardbirds? This is when he goes back. In 1989, a couple things happened. Eric Clapton was completely holy and fully clean.
Mm-hmm.
No coke, no heroin, no booze. He still smokes a whole lot, but you know that's not going to send you over the edge quite as quickly. And in 1989, he gets together once again with Phil Collins, and he puts out the Journeyman LP. I mean, George Harrison is on this. Phil Collins, Daryl Hall, Chaka Khan, believe it or not. Mick Jones, David Sanborn, Robert Cray, the well-known smoking gun. And what he did that was on the bad side? Or maybe it was on the good side.
What?
Who knows? He divorced Patty Boyd because he's had enough of bad love. This is from Journeyman on Rock School. Singing voice sounds like, and I'd like to apologize to everybody up front. That's from Journeyman. That's Bad Love on the Clapton Chronicles. We're down to 10 minutes. We got time to play two more songs, and I got like 9 albums left.
Well, we can't do part 3.
Guy was unbelievable. No, we're going to wrap it up. Let's just keep going. 89, though, I said was Bad Love, and then the next year, 1990, was the Intermediate Blues Volume 2, Dealing with the Devil, and a couple nasty things happened to him in 1990. Stevie Ray Vaughan was killed. He was touring with Stevie Ray Vaughan at the time. And also two members of the road crew were killed in a helicopter crash between concerts. Do you remember when that happened?
Vaguely.
Stevie Ray Vaughan and these two guys got into this helicopter, and the helicopter pilot took off and apparently wasn't paying attention, and he tried to fly between two of those large electrical poles and hit the wires.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing actually hung up. So,
ouch.
Also, in 1991, he put out the album 24 Nights, which was a live album, but this is when the awful happened in his existence, Eric Clapton's existence. On March 20th, 1991, Connor was the child he produced with Yvonne while he was still still married to Patty Boyd. When he was 4 years of age, I think earlier in the show I said he was five. He's 4 years of age. He fell out of his mother's friend's New York City apartment window. I didn't even know on the 53rd floor you could get a window to open.
Wow.
And he fell and landed on the roof of an adjacent building and passed away. which should have sent Clapton into yet another drug and alcohol, you know, haze.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. It sent him back to acoustic work.
Yeah.
It was the Unplugged album, which is by the way, is his biggest selling album.
Yeah, that's the one where I kind of started listening to him.
Well, that's the one where he recorded the very slow and, of course, live version of Tears in Heaven. That's also the album that has the live version of Layla, the acoustic version of Layla, which we're not playing here.
With all due respect to that song, you know, we got boys, both of us.
Yeah.
We're dads.
Yeah, and we can't play it because I said to Chad, pardon me, I said to Chad, I can't play Tears in Heaven. I got a 3-year-old kid.
Mm-hmm. I got a 2-year-old.
And I can't take it. So
right. What
I decided to do was play something from Unplugged, but I play in this one because this is my favorite. I remember watching it and I ran to grab my guitar because the riff that he plays in this is so cool. I just backed the tape up. There wasn't TiVo yet. Backed the tape up. Run it again. Backed the tape up. And my wife finally said, will you please learn that so I can watch the rest of this concert? It's great. This is called Hey Hey from the Unplugged LP. MTV does some things right every now and again.
Every now and then.
Rock School.
Good Lord, how in the world did you learn that?
Good.
Did you learn that?
Oh, yeah. He is so good.
I'm clapping, too.
He is so good. So good.
Giving me fits.
Yeah, he is so good. It's Eric Clapton, and we have come to an end. I'm sorry to say, this is the second part. I'm not as angry at you anymore because you just would not get off my case. When are you going to do Clapton Part Two?
Hey, well, you know, I don't like not finishing stuff.
Yeah, I know. Good show though.
You're like, let's do the Van Halen show. Let's finish what we started first back in July.
Understand what's important. That's from the Unplugged LP, 1992. Listen to this resume. Listen to this curriculum. Vita here. The next album, From the Cradle, 1984, or 1994, that's got Before You Accuse Me as the hit. It also did Oh Hoochie Coochie Man.
Mm-hmm.
Changed the World in 1996. He recorded for the Phenomenon soundtrack, Changed the World. In 2000, he was dating Sheryl Crow. Yeah, you know the song she sang, You're My Favorite Mistake?
Yeah.
Is about Eric Clapton. In 2000, he recorded Riding with the King with B.B. Clapton. If I do that again, just walk up and give me a kick. In 2001, he recorded Reptile. In 2002, he recorded One More Car, One More Rider. In 2004, he recorded Me and Mr. Johnson. In 2006, he recorded Dead End Road with J.J. Cale, who wrote After Midnight and Cocaine. Mm-hmm. And he is right now working on an album that is tentatively titled Trouble Doll.
Slow down, you.
Guy never quits. For the longest time, I'm a huge Robert Johnson fan, and I'm almost annoying about it because when somebody says, you know, I like Robert Johnson, you kind of have to prove it to me because he's become, like, cool to like.
Yeah.
Kind of have to prove it to me. Well, man. This guy proved it to me. In the year 2004, Me and Mr. Johnson was released, and it's nothing but Robert Johnson tunes on the acoustic. Luckily, he didn't need his electrics anymore. As Chad pointed out earlier on, Blackie was sold in 2004 for $959,000.
Who in the world has the money to buy that?
Boy, I wish I did. It held the record for the most expensive guitar ever until a white Fender Stratocaster, which was signed by Clapton and about 100 other artists, was auctioned off to raise money for the victims of 2004's tsunami disaster.
Mm-hmm.
That one went for over $1 million, but the final number was not released.
Eh.
So that's it. That's Clapton in a 2-hour nutshell. This is Rock School. My name is Joe Burns. You are?
I'm Chad B.
The fine people at Home Theater, etc. were the ones that gave the money and were able to help us put the show on the air. From Me and Mr. Johnson in 2004, there's a hellhound on my trail. I'm playing this not because it's my favorite Clapton version. Hellhound on My Trail is my favorite Robert Johnson song, bar none.
Nice.
And Eric does a wonderful job. I think that's going to do it. We done?
Yep.
We done.
Cool.
Class is dismissed.